Records. All right, man. Welcome to the Wild Roof Radio Program, the April 19th show. We got a lot going on, but nothing's more important to me to get some airtime to Rosie Kuhn, who is starting a nonprofit called My Brother's Keeper that's going to step in and provide clothing to folks that need clothing, don't have enough money to buy it. And welcome to the show, Rosie. Maybe you can give us like a one-minute synopsis of what you need. And I want to do say before that, we're going to do a whole show around this. I was in the green room with Rosie. And Sienna Soniki and I are producing a show on the 3rd. But I want to put some, get some homeless folks in here and really enlighten the community on why what you're doing is so darn important. So thank you for coming on, Rosie.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm trying to replace the free store for the Jesus Center, and they plan to close on June 1st. So we have a little money raising to do here, and we really need help in finding a location. Anybody who happens to know of a building that we might be able to get into and rent and to provide these services to the homeless and the poor, we'd really appreciate it.
Awesome. And you'll be hearing Rosie. She's going to be on the radio as much as we can get her. My friend Peter Ratner is going to have her on a couple of shows this weekend and maybe even Monday.
Yeah, hopefully.
You know, I can come on Monday. Give me a script, man. We got to get this out there because this is what this whole show is about, poverty, the worst form of violence. So maybe some comments around poverty, the worst form of violence, and I'll transition into our show, Rosie Kuhn. You can find My Brother's Keeper's Free Store. It's out on Facebook. Get out there and like them. But what would you say
and
around
that? We are also GoFundMe.
GoFundMe, yeah.
Yeah, GoFundMe. You can find us under My Brother's Keeper Free Store for mm-hmm. that. And we're going to have a concert on the 19th of May at Ooh. The Women's Club.
There you
and,
go. That's a favorite venue for
yes.
KZFR.
And you are actually the sponsors. And we have two bands playing. So that'll be exciting. And anybody that has any suggestions or wants to get in touch with me, just go to rosiemk@gmail.com.
Yes. Thanks so much for coming on, Rosie. And Rosie is possibly even nicer than how she sounds. Thank you so much, Rosie,
you.
For all you're doing. Kind of transition to the intro for the show. We're celebrating 5 years of Without a Roof, and we've got a whole show wrapped around Waking the Village out of Sacramento. So here we go on People Powered Radio. All right, welcome to the April 19th edition of the Without a Roof radio program here on KZFR 90.1 FM. Guillermo Mash here, and we're continuing a theme we had from last week. About half our show, or maybe actually a third of the show, was dedicated towards remembering 5 years of Without a Roof, organization I started back in the Sacramento area in the late winter, early spring of 2012. And it's my real pleasure to be doing an entire show around Waking the Village in honor of a long-form piece I did for them. I did a video interview. It was a 3 or 4 sessions. We had photographers and did a lot of audio recording. It was a well-produced piece that served the Tubman House very well for these last 5 years to kind of educate folks on what the program's all about. You're going to hear a radio edit of that. And we're also going to interview Bridget Alexander, who was a principal in the radio edit piece of Tubman House Magic. And she is a co-founder and a project director and kind of a driving force at Waking the Village and all the wonderful programs that they do. But Waking the Village leads 5 programs. Tubman House, The Doorway, Audrey's Emporium of New Tomorrows, Art Beast Children's Studio, and The Creation District. Each program centers on an interactive environment that inspires growth and builds community. Tubman House, The Doorway, and Audrey's Emporium of New Tomorrows are all housing programs that provide stable and nurturing home environments for young families experiencing homelessness. Art Beasts in the Creation District are both artistic hubs rooted in the belief that youth and children need creativity and expression embedded into their lives in order to thrive and flourish. When it comes to tackling homelessness, we're in it for the long haul. Our clients do not manage crisis, they conquer it. All right, and that was directly off their webpage, wakingthevillage.org. And what I'm going to do now, I'm going to transition to an intro piece. I'm going to pre-record this with Shahara Hyatt, project director at the California Homeless Youth Project, who is going to give us 2-3 minutes, poignant minutes, around all the good work that Waking the Village does in the Sacramento area and how important it is to the issue of youth homelessness, family homelessness, and child homelessness here on People Powered Radio.
Hey, Bill. Thanks again so much for having me. I'm so excited to talk about Waking the Village, Tubman House, which is just a pillar in the community in terms of serving young people experiencing homelessness in Sacramento, and especially families, parents, and children experiencing homelessness. It's such an incredible life-saving resource here in my community. And, you know, I say that not just because Bridget Alexander, their executive director, I think is just one of the leaders on this issue of youth homelessness. Also, Grace Losher, their program director, and the person who runs the Creation District and a lot of their artistic spaces and youth programming, are both pillars of the community. They've also just recently created the first LGBTQ youth-specific housing program in Sacramento, and that's been incredibly exciting for me and, of course, all of the young people that they're serving. We heard from them last week from youth from a number of the programs that Waking the Village runs, met with Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg to talk about their experiences and their ideas for change. And a lot of them talked about how transformative and life-saving transitional housing has been for them. So that means that they're able to stay in, you know, a home environment for 18 months while they work on their plans for their life and their health. And they work with really kind of amazing staff members that help talk with them about just to support them in their goals and promoting toward self-sufficiency. But it was really incredible to hear the young people share with the mayor of Sacramento how much having these services mean to them. And one of their biggest recommendations was to have more programs like Waking the Village in our community. Such a great resource, but obviously there is not enough. And that's true for, you know, every community across California. Is there some really amazing programs, but a lot of times there isn't enough to meet the need. So for the young people who are lucky enough to be able to be a part of Waking the Village, I think they can't say enough good things about their experiences. And we want every young person to have that same opportunity.
Yeah, maybe some quick words, closing comments around the whole creativity piece of it, because I think Art Beast has been there for like 5 years, but that whole Creation District that Grace is leading up, I think that's kind of a hidden thing, the importance of that, you know, the creativity and having a voice. Maybe a few words around that to close would be awesome.
Yeah. You know, adolescence is such a time of creative expression and identity formation. And so being able to have spaces like the Creation District and Art Beast for some of the younger kids to be able to make and create and find themselves and find humor and art and music in these spaces and commune with one another, I think is so healing. And it's really nice because, you know, it can be therapeutic to engage in all of those activities. And Grace really does a great job at the Creation District, running a lot of programs out of there. They give youth access to art supplies and things like that.
So go out on wakingthevillage.org if you need to give them some supplies or some donations, because they're just a wonderful organization. Thanks so much for coming on the program, Shahara. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Thanks so much, Bill.
We're an 18-month transitional living community, and it's voluntary. So residents find us or are referred by other agencies locally,
and
they apply by a phone call, initial interview and phone call, where we spend an incredible amount of time talking and referring and kind of getting their story.
Can't ask people to be vulnerable and pursue change 5 hours a day and then send them back into a world where the things that being vulnerable is extremely dangerous. It seemed wrong. I really wasn't preparing my students for the world they were going to live in by asking them to become vulnerable and dream and hope, if really when they went onto the world that was going to be a dangerous activity and possibly depressing.
The constant, relentless, holistic approach to the support, everything from going to a college class with a resident to being there for when the babies were, I mean, all those things are all pieces of how the program works as a community.
I came here because my family had moved away. My family ran out of money and they had to move back to Michigan, and there wasn't any room for me to go with them. So I was kind of scrambling last minute to try and find a place to live. And luckily, I had put myself on the wait list before because I knew things were kind of shaky and they were going to run out of money. So I got in 2 days before we would have been evicted, and just, you know, by the skin of my teeth, like, it was so stressful at times.
Well, I would just like to thank Tubman House for all they're doing and what else they're going to do. And I just thank God that I got into the Tubman House, because if I didn't, then I honestly wouldn't know where I'll be at right now, me or my son.
My mom passed away when I was really young, and after that, I pretty much raised myself. My family was supposed to be there, but they're too busy trying to do what they gotta do, so I had my son at 16, and then from there, everything got a little rough, but I still survived. I ended up getting pregnant again with my youngest one, and from there I became homeless. And I was everywhere, family houses to friends' houses to boyfriend's house to a shelter. And then I got in a shelter and I got myself back in school, got myself into women empowerment. I graduated from there.
Like, you can try your hardest to work it out on your own, but you need support. You need someone or something to lean on.
I've had to kind of relearn how to live life. Tubman is kind of giving me a different set of wings.
Like, I didn't know anything about Tubman. Like, I was like, Tubman, it's not, you know, a program is a program. It sounded like, you know, fun, but at the same time, the life I was living, I didn't know if I really wanted to structure. So then I decided to come. I'm glad I came.
So we already knew we were going to do Tubman. We just did the bike trip as a test drive slash stunt, funding stunt. Though the bike trip was basically on our credit cards that are still being paid off. But after that, we were able to write that into grants as part of our history of what we can do, what we can achieve. And that's why I think people gave us a shot.
Right. And so we had media following us along on that trip. And we basically every 50 miles, every 50 to 100 miles, we found a town that was on our route. We called every community group in that town, every school, every church, every Lions Club, and said, hey, would you be willing to host this really fabulous group that's going to be coming through? It's a group of kids that are going to be really setting goals, driving for dreams, doing this. And then we ended up securing a spot every 50 to really 80 miles all the way to Pensacola, Florida. That in itself, allowing these folks to host us and welcome us into their town, into their home, and the hospitality and the South in general was just, amazing. Yeah. But moving. I mean, I remember we were in New Orleans and people were just praying for us. And every youth group member had a name of a rider. And then that's really how our whole concept of coaching came about, too. We do coaching model at Tubman, and that's what we were doing on the bike trip. It was just called guide and rider rather than coach and resident. But it was a similar model, actually. It's just coming to
mind. Yeah, and just realizing that the universe, what happened, I remember New Orleans stands out for all the writers, what happened in New Orleans, and realizing for youth that had felt like the universe had kind of conspired against them to roll into a town of strangers and find out that for once the universe seemed to be like praying and rooting for you and have gotten you there safely was pretty incredible. Pretty, I think, it kind of undid everybody, to be honest. It got everybody across their country. The other thing was that you couldn't really quit because you would be stranded in the middle of Texas. So that was one of the other things that made it work was, you know, we weren't going to fly you back. You know, your only way out was through. Your only way out was your own legs. And so that was part of the power of the trip, too. But we tried to take as many of those elements of the trip and bring them to the creation of Tubman House. And so, you know, almost everything, people are always like, what? You're like, what? The bike trip, Tubman House? We're like, no, we always knew we wanted to do Tubman House. We did the bike trip because we knew we wanted to do Tubman House. And actually, Tubman House is if you could put the bike, what made the bike trip work and what that was about is trying to plant that inside a house. And that means everything, all the healing is in relationship. We don't expect people to take risks without relationship. We know that these are ongoing. These relationships are real. They don't end when you graduate after 18 months. They're real.
Or when you're throwing your bike off the side of the road because you're so mad you don't want to go another mile. I mean, the moments on the bike trip taught us so much about what Tubman, the journey of what Tubman was going to be. There were so many days where it was like, we're not going to finish this. Both for the guides and the riders, and we all persevered and we all made it.
Yeah, there was a breakdown, for sure. Everybody had a breakdown at one point or another, a moment of despair, and the way the community would lift you back up.
Yeah. As a coach, you know, I've been a coach here for 4 years. It's amazing to just see the journey of the clients when they come through the door their first day and they're just like overwhelmed because there's so many things to know and routines and rules and policies. And then, you know, a month later, they understand and they wake up, they're used to the rhythms. But it's just amazing to see how even if a person has been here for one day and they decide to leave, in some way we know that we've helped them.
We're currently working on getting my partner in here, and he had to go through a process to get in here because we have had our issues in the past, and he's had his issues with drinking. And so actually Tubman House helped us a lot with that because he actually realized that he was an alcoholic. And they had helped him get into the programs that he needed to get into in order to get into this program. Hopefully, he will be getting it soon, but they helped him a lot. And it's also helped us with our relationship and bettered our relationship.
Just because we're young, it doesn't mean we can't make it. people always judge us. Oh, they're not going to do this and they're not going to do that. Well, I'm doing what I got to do. So it's hard, but just like if you're 25, having your first baby is still going to be hard. Age doesn't really matter. It just makes it harder.
All right, that was a portion radio edited of a piece I put together. It's kind of emotional editing that. I mean, it's just a wonderful, wonderful experience, and to see from afar all the wonderful things they've done, and now to be able to hear from Bridget Alexander, who is the co-founder and executive director at Waking the Village. Welcome to KZFR 90.1 FM, Bridget.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's that was amazing to listen to that, Esther. All edited together and kind of hitting you again.
It was. And, you know, I have to say, I'll jump around. I got some prompts, but I did have a chance to see your new website. I'm calling it the new website. It can't have been out there more than months, and it's just beautiful. And to see the media created by the Tubman graduate community, graduate academy, I think is what you called it. That's what made me teary-eyed. I was watching that last night, Bridget.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's always fun to, it's so hard to find a priority to sit back and like, okay, what in all the work there is to do in a day and all the, you know, people to connect with and children to hold, to find time to sit down and, you know, manage the website. But when we do, it's always a good opportunity to think again about who we are and what we want to say in a small amount of space. And more and more, we have so many, even our staff, so many more graduates on who work alongside us now, and so many more voices articulating what Waking the Village is all about. So it's fun to also do that process when we get down to it.
Yeah, I think it's as good as any website I've seen in this space, and that's wakingthevillage.org. But why don't you fill us in? I know we only got, you know, a few minutes, but gosh, what's been going on down there in Waking the Village, Bridget, since I was last there?
It's been a busy, actually, the last year has been kind of crazy. So first off, shout out to Grace Lozier, one of our youth development directors who did the website. And we always joke around that everybody at Tubman has to wear a heck of a lot of hats. And fortunately, Grace can stack on a pile of them. And so she did that website in between, you know, helping people through some of the hardest days they've been through. And then we also, she's the director and the kind of the mind behind the Creation District, which we launched maybe about a year and a half ago now. And so we were finding that our Tubman House program, folks were getting a little stir crazy, and that almost everything was happening in the houses, and we wanted to do a little more to get folks out into the community. And so we started the Creation District and took a lot of our programming outside. It's actually in a classroom in a local elementary school that was decommissioned. And we can then also begin to connect more with other youth in the community, either youth from Wind Youth Services or Lutheran Social Services, or just youth that are in the neighborhood. And it's all about doing leadership training and social justice work through the lens of art, and using art to kind of develop your voice and your message, and you know, explore some of the experiences and systemic injustices that bring us to the experiences we have today. So that's been one of the programs we created, and it's been really exciting to get that on its feet. That also allowed us to kind of create more art and video around what we're doing. And then in last September, in partnership with Wind Youth Services, we launched The Doorway, which is a scattered site program. It's our first experiment with this model. Where we're working with 12 families that are overcoming homelessness and supporting them as they live in apartments that we are able to help them locate. This is also our first experience in the world of HUD funding, and it's been an interesting journey. I'll leave it at that. I don't have 3 hours to share that. But it's been exciting to expand our services. And then in February, we opened Audrey's Emporium of New Tomorrows, which is two sites that are 100% on the Tubman model. So it's community living in houses. We have staff that live on site and staff that are there every day. And that program serves members of the LGBTQ community. One house is for singles, and the other house is for families. And like I said, across all our programs, we're always blending our communities, and that's been probably the biggest reward of all of growth, is bringing together all kinds of voices under the room.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got to tour Win Youth Services with Nikki Jones, and maybe stop for a few minutes just to add some color and some clarity on how dire the situation is for youth and their families that are experiencing homelessness. It was a plague in 2012 when I started doing this work, Bridget, and now it's devastating. So,
yeah, it's so frustrating because, to be honest, it feels like the youth providers are better than ever. It feels like we're working harder. We're actually offering more programs than ever. We're more partners than ever. We're doing everything we think is to the best that we can do it, and yet the need is so severe, and we just can't get ahead of it. Tubman always seems to have a wait list a mile long. Audrey's has already instantly had a list. You know, everywhere. Wind always has a list for their programs. Part of all this is because of the HUD definition. So HUD drives so much of the funding to homelessness, and that definition on chronic homelessness has meant that we really aren't looking at prevention and aren't looking at youth, because we're waiting till they free fall for a couple of years before we let them access the bulk of our programs for homeless folks. And so that's been part of what the issue is we're kind of feeding it all by not getting in there early with an intervention for youth.
Yeah, because it was nice to have that little segment that actually had that youth that was doing child development, and you caught her before she hit the street, you know, and that's just a beautiful thing. You saved her from the suffering, but it just improves the chances of positive and wonderful outcomes, you know.
Completely. There's so much less trauma to have to get through if we can just cut down the number of days someone spends on the streets or in a building that's unsafe, in a home that's unsafe, or in a terrible environment. But that's the other thing, is that a lot of our HUD funding in Sacramento and in a lot of communities, because it's HUD funded, it's a really narrow definition of homelessness that a lot of youth don't fit, because youth tend to use the network as long as possible, and so they're couch bouncing for as long as possible rather than going into shelters of the street. Yeah. And we miss them. We miss that opportunity by refusing to recognize that as homeless.
Just to localize a little bit, I was at Sixth Street Center for Youth, and there was a youth named Adam, and I was standing at the front desk of Sixth Street Center of Youth, and they do this Writing for Donuts program, and I mentioned this whole thing to this youth about you're probably not broken enough, or, you know, this whole you got to be broke to get services. And he says to me, Bridget, he says, yeah, man, you can't believe it. I said, I wrote a poem, and it was in the Writing for Donuts. Oh, it's right here. And he shows me the poem, and he wrote a poem just around that, around the fact that he needed help, but he wasn't broken enough to get help.
Yep.
And it's just, you know, there's an absurdity there
it's so frustrating. I do feel, though, this is the other thing I actually feel like has changed a lot in the last 3 years for us, is that we were kind of, you know, we're always grassrootsy, and we're always doing what we believe, but we have been getting more engaged with our local continuum of care and a little more involved in engaging with the systems, if only to bang, you know, to listen to the pretty sound our heads make when we knock our skulls against them. But, you know, it's been, I do feel, though, that by being a voice at the table, that we are beginning in our own continuum, in Sacramento at least, that there is a recognition that youth homelessness does look different, and we need to come up with some different strategies, and we need to get there sooner, we need to get more hands on deck. And, you know, the process, of course, isn't moving as quick as I'd like, but it does feel like it's important to be at those tables, and it is heartening to see that at least little changes are happening, nowhere near as quickly as we need to, but it is, you know, it does feel like the more we raise the issue, shine light on this, come together and articulate it together, and this is where aligning with the other youth providers in our community has been so powerful. I feel like we're really speaking in one voice now, and for a long time, for a lot of years, we're all just kind of trying to keep our keep alive, and now I think we're speaking more as a unified voice, and it's cool how aligned we all are and what we want to see.
It is. You know, I had kind of made a note of just how many beautiful and awesome people I've met doing this work for 5 years, but it's been kind of a blessing because I've had a thread of stories. I've had Shahara Hyatt, who comes on at least a couple of times a month, and Grace Losher. Oh, I know, you know, you hired her. She's amazing.
Yeah, right?
But Nikki Jones, you know, and I did a piece, researching a piece for the Homeward Journal, and I was just so impassioned by how long she's been working to get the strength and the voice out there. So there is some beautiful people and some beautiful programs.
Oh, yeah. I know. No, it's incredible to me. And that's what keeps it all going, right? Because it is. So you can feel so defeated with those endless wait lists. But there are, honestly, in our city, some really amazingly committed, passionate people that are doing this with every bit of heart and artfulness they have in them, and that definitely keeps you inspired. I mean, honestly, we keep running and going, and all the folks who assisted are dear to me, and have definitely kept me fired up on the hardest of days.
So maybe a good closing thing would be, and obviously if you have any comments we haven't touched upon, that would be good too. But just how people can get involved, and make a difference. If you've got a few words around that,
sure. Yeah, I mean, the one thing I always say is that I have two comments on this. One is that we need to stop always kind of looking from our excess. I feel like as systems and as cities, we tend to do that. Well, what's not hard to give? Like right now, the voucher system. We're just going to kind of skim from this. Doctors, we're not going to really ask about community that suffered too much as we solve the homelessness issue. You know, that's not it. That's not the answer. We all need to suffer a little more to make this work. So that's one thing is, like, let's stop just handing from our excess and giving from our extra and our cast offs, and maybe dig a little deeper and maybe make a little more space in our lives, in our homes, in our workplaces. And then the next step that kind of in keeping is look at what we can offer. We don't need, the art of working with folks that are journeying away from homelessness is an honest one. It is hard work, and we've learned a lot of stuff. Not everyone can do this work, so, not everyone is meant to be a mentor or meant to be a social worker. But if you've got a business, employ someone. Give a kid a chance who nobody else will hire. If you have a talent to share, come and get an offering in some way, whether it be cooking or creating art, fixing cars or building roofs. There's just so much that people can look at what they do and the strengths they have and think about how that could be an offering to an agency that's just barely, hitting their bottom lines. I think it's always one of the most powerful ways you can help. And then in that, you begin to build the relationships by sharing that strength. Instead of coming in with an attitude of trying to fix somebody or advise them or give them a good, it's so much better to try to connect and share something like on that. And we're always just dreaming, oh, if only we could connect. Just today in the staff meeting, we're talking about it. We have a young man that loves horses, and we're just like, oh, if you could just get a job mucking out a barn and working with horses, he'd be so happy. It'd be a place to start, but nobody knows that person who will hire him. And, how do you get up that word and build those networks for young folks?
Well, I have to have you back on because I'm really interested in the full body of the work, but I've done some work in the LGBT community here, and there's been a lot of love and care and passion around that new home you opened up. So let's try to do that. But I got to transition here to my next piece.
To.
But thanks for coming on. Thanks for all you do. Give Grace Locher. I've never given Grace Locher a hug, and I'm giving you a do list. Give her a hug for me because she's awesome.
No problem.
All right, Bridget Alexander. Thanks for all that you do.
Thanks. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Without a Roof radio program.
Calling up, Tamara Wickman.
By the generous contributions of KZFR's supporters and by Rallo's West on West 3rd Street in downtown Chico. Rallo's West offers appetizers and entrees, including Maryland-style shrimp and blue crab cakes, steaks, seafood, duck, and flatbread pizza. There's also a wine bar, Charcuterie, and artisan wines. Open Tuesday through Saturday at 5. Rallo's West, located at 342 West 3rd Street. More information on Facebook or by calling 636-4468.
All right. Trying to get Tamara Wickman here on the line. Hey, Tamara, just in time. Welcome to KZFR. Hold on a second. Let me get you out. All right, we got Tamara Wickman on the line. Tamara, it's always nice to hear your voice. What's going on with your event this weekend?
Awesome. So we are having a walk and roll for the Disability Action Center. It's our first annual, and it is an event to raise awareness for individuals that live with disabilities in our community and their families. The reality is 12.9% of our community here in Butte County live with some sort of disability, which is actually double the national average. And so we're just wanting to have a fun celebration, saying, hey, here we are, a part of the community. The walk and roll starts in downtown Chico at 9 a.m. registration. There'll be some fun stretching with Mega Moore, yoga teacher. Alpha Strong will be there pumping us up. And then we're going to be doing a stretch 70s walk through the downtown area. And then there'll be a resource fair in the downtown plaza until 2 o'clock. And after that, we're going to have a dance party, celebration after party at Duffy's from 3 to 7.
Wow, that sounds like so much fun. I'm going to at least make the Duffy's part of that.
So much fun.
So much. Thank you for correcting me. So much fun. Thank you, Tamara Wickman. We're at the top of the hour. I wish I had a few more minutes for that. But get on out to the plaza 9 a.m., right?
Free to participate.
What was the times again? Plaza, 9 a.m.?
9 a.m. registration, 10 o'clock we strut, goes till 2 o'clock resource fair. Come dance with us at Duffy's from 3 to 7.
Strutting with Tamara and friends. Thanks, Tamara. Yeah.